time that he sends a much larger group of his followers out. And we've been learning, haven't we, about how we gather here and then we're scattered through the world. And there is a sense in which we are sent out into the world. Sometimes we're sent out by ourselves, sometimes we're sent out in pairs. And the idea of this kind of final service in this series is to hear back some of the stories that people have from having been sent out. So over the last kind of 6 weeks, stories from over the last 6 weeks of where people have had encounters with others, or they've reflected on how their scattered lives are and the difference that their faith makes to it. And so we've got four people that have prepared to share. If you've come this morning with a testimony about this, about something that's happened in the last 6 weeks on your front line that you feel that you want to share, and it's short and sweet, then I'll be happy to let you have the mic after the four testimonies, and then I'm going to just share a little bit more after that. So I'm going to start off with Val. I asked Val to share. They're all different sorts of front lines, so I'm sure hopefully Val will explain about her front line. So she's going to come and share now.
As most of you know, my name is Val and I'm a part of the church worship team. What you may not know about me is that for the past 20 years, at their request, I have been playing the piano for Little Angels preschool singing time. This is a voluntary job, so I don't get paid or anything like that. But during term time, I go in for a session, both morning and afternoon, on a different day each week, to enable as many of the 2 to 4 year olds as possible experience the joy of singing. The children come from very diverse cultural backgrounds, but for that one session, they are all united in the one activity. You may not consider this a very frontline act of Christian service, but I believe that this is where God wants me to be, serving the families of the community in which we live in a generous and loving way, where I am using the gifts and talents I have been blessed with for the benefit of others. After the Christmas concert last year, one parent stayed behind until all the others had gone. We meet in here, so the church is packed, absolutely packed. But this one person stayed behind until everybody else had gone. I was still packing away all my things, and then he came over to me, and he thanked me for what I had done in accompanying the children, saying that he felt that music was essential for the children to participate in from an early age. And he happened to be one of our town councillors. And then only this past week, when I went in on Wednesday, I was met by the manager, who told me that the day before, when I had come down for crackpots meeting, some of the children had seen my car in the car park and had rushed excitedly in to tell her that Val was here. Sadly, she had to tell them I wasn't coming in until the next day. But it gave me a warm feeling to know that the children looked forward to my visits, and that it is a real privilege to be a part of those children's formative years. And my prayer is that the love I have for Jesus may shine out of me to them, and that they too feel loved and special.
So the second person isn't going to come up because he's too shy. I mean, it's not really a part of his personality I've seen, but he didn't want to come up and share. So this is from David, and it's a kind of combination of conversations that I've had with him over the last few weeks about his involvement with the under 12s girls' football team that he coaches as part of Bournemouth Youth Club, youth football. And he first started talking to me about it back in the summer, where he felt that he should be coaching the team. Nicole had wanted to play football, and she tried out for the team, and they needed a coach. And it's something that he'd done before. And he felt a bit conflicted, actually, because he was involved with Illuminate, and his life was like filling up with things, ways of serving. And I very much encouraged him to do the football and to not help with Illuminate, which probably wasn't greeted with much joy by the Illuminate leaders. But I could very much see that this was his passion, and that I could very much see that this was a real mission opportunity for him, because he was going to bring his faith into that space. Now, he's faced some challenges in that role, because working with children and young people, you always face challenges. They are 10 to 12-year-old girls, and if you've ever had anything to do with 10 to 12-year-old girls, you know that it's a stage of life where they're learning about friendship, about conflict resolution, and all sorts of things. And those things are very much exacerbated on the football field, I think, as well. And I asked David about this a few weeks ago. I said, oh, you know, how's it going with the girls' football team? And he said, oh, it's a nightmare. they're so much conflict. I don't want. I said, do you pray for them? And he said, oh, yeah, kind of. He said, they pray before each match. You know, it's a bit, you see that, don't you, in kind of international games, even some teams. And, you know, we're aware that some of our national teams, footballers, have faith as well. So you sometimes see that. But the girls had obviously taken this on. I don't know how many of them have faith. But they pray before the match, and that was really encouraging. And I said, well, you know, that might be something that they just see happening. But you can lead that, or you can encourage that from a place of faith, because they might think it's a bit of a superstitious, or we better just pray. But you know that them inviting Jesus into that football match is really important. And I encouraged him as well to pray for the girls, pray for this conflict, pray for wisdom as to how to coach them from a kind of Christian perspective in terms of their relationships with one another. And he says that that's made a difference. It's just so encouraging to know that both Val and David are part of key things in our community. They're taking their Christian faith, not in a proclamation way. They don't go and say, oh, you know, do you know Jesus loves you? But their very service and the way in which they're being present and the way in which they're praying for their situations is bringing Jesus into those places. There's a slight addition to the story about David and their football team, which happened this week. So I've shared with the Bible study groups that I have been helping with that this is a part of this whole front lines thing is a bit strange for me here in Boreham Wood, because I'm so new to the area. I don't have a lot of contact and a lot of friends really at all, or even contacts of people who aren't Christians. You know, I know you guys, but I don't know many other people. But we were having some work done on the manse on Wednesday, or was it Thursday? We had someone in our house to sort out some cabling. And I was preparing the PowerPoint for today's sermon. And I had decided that I was going to have an image for each kind of testimony. And so I had Googled Boreham Wood Youth Football Club to see if they had a logo, which of course they have. And to discover, I knew that there was a name for Nicole's team, and I was trying to remember, so I was Googling it. And the guy who was doing the cabling work came into my study to do the cabling work. And on the screen was a picture of the logo, but there was a picture of a girl's team, and there was a picture of a girl holding a trophy. And he looked up from the cabling, and he was like, you've got a picture of my daughter on your laptop. And I was like, oh, have I? I think he was slightly freaked out. And I said, oh, well, I'm preparing for my sermon on Sunday. And we have this guy in our church called David, and he coaches that team now. And I don't know whether he coaches your daughter. And his daughter's, it was an old picture, so she's now in the under 14s. And I said, oh, you know, because I'm going to, David, I'm sharing something about David, you know, how his faith impacts the way he coaches the team. And he was like, oh right, okay, like nothing much. And then we talked about how he knew David, and because, you know, both brought up in Boreham Wood and so on. And it was just a really gentle, it was just a reminder once again that, you know, we're all out, you know, you are all in the town. You know, you've got relationships, you've got connections, and, you know, we can... It's good for people to know that we're here as a church, that we're talking about these things, that we know one another. That and so it was, that was a real encouragement. I didn't do what you're going to hear Mary did. She slightly put me to shame with her testimony. You'll see that in a minute. Yeah, just be encouraged. Even if you don't think you know many people, you're coming into contact with all sorts of people. And if you ask, the Lord will give you opportunities to just bear witness to what's going on. The next testimony is from Colleen, who can't be here today because it's Mothering Sunday, and as you'll hear, the business that she runs is one of their busiest days of the year, so she's working, but this testimony came out of some conversations we had at the Tuesday Bible study group about how our faith impacts the way that we are in the workplace, and for her, how she runs her business. So I'm just going to read what she's written for you all. So Colleen says, my working front line is based at the aerodrome in Elstree, where I've owned the cafe for the past 2.5 years. It's quite a full-on occupation as we're open 7 days a week all year round and for up to 10 hours a day in the height of summer. In the course of an average summer week, we serve around 1,600 customers per week, coming from a range of backgrounds and with various needs and interests. As the business owner, I feel a responsibility to lead in a way that demonstrates the values that I want the business to reflect to our customers. Ensuring we are both a happy workplace and a place of welcome for anyone who passes through our doors. Because of the unique environment, we appeal to several groups of people who have additional needs, including dementia sufferers, MenCap clients, older people, and carers for young children. I've encouraged my team to always try and preempt the needs of these customers so that they will feel welcome, calm, and part of the community that we are creating. This can include spotting wheelchair users as they approach from the car park and setting out the wheelchair ramp in advance, bringing out a glass of water for a breastfeeding mum, finding a tired parent of toddlers some colouring pencils and paper, and reassuring them that the windows needed cleaning anyway. Keeping an eye on someone with dementia while the person caring for them pops to the loo, or simply remembering that the personal assistant for a particular MenCap client will always want the cappuccino split across two cups. Although there's not much opportunity to speak about my faith in my day-to-day work, I make it known that my faith is my underpinning principle, and I hope that the environment we create is a way to reflect back to our customers day-to-day. And the final testimony is from Mary, and she recorded hers on video. So we're going to just watch that now.
Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mary Ekwo. I'm a member of this fellowship. Yeah, my husband and I have not been to church for quite a while now because we're struggling with some health issues. But yeah, we thank God. And thank you, church, for praying for us. We are grateful. And happy Mother's Day to us mothers, mothers-to-be, and all spiritual mothers among us. I hope you'll be spoiled today. Insist that you are spoiled. Very special. Or give yourself the best treat you can. We deserve it. I'm sharing this very short testimony with you all. I shared it with my prayer group on one of the Wednesdays, and our Reverend Pastor Rachel was with us. My apologies. And today being a testimony Sunday, she's asked if I could share it with the church, and I said, yeah. Now, this is about the conversation I had with a young man who was in my house a few weeks ago to service CCTV. And the thing with me, as many of you know, is I love to talk. And the reason being because I've been talking for the past 46 years plus. So it's become, yeah, me and conversation, and I love it. So this young man came, and that time Michael was in the hospital on admission, and I showed him where everything was. And then when he finished, he came to the living room where I was, sat down, and was sorting out the app on my iPad and my phone. And when he finished, he handed it to me, and I said, oh, thank you, praise the Lord. And he looked at me. Well, I said praise the Lord on purpose because I wanted to find out where he stands with the Lord. And then I told him that I'm a woman of faith. I believe in God through Jesus Christ. And then I asked him if he had any faith. He said, no, not my type of faith, but that he believed, or he believes there is something big beyond us, but he's not sure what it is. So I told him, I said, yeah, once upon a time, I also knew that thought. And I searched and found out that that big thing beyond us is God himself, the creator who made us. I investigated, I searched, and I knew him, gave my life to Jesus, and I'm a Christian. So he looked at me, and then, so I said, are you willing to search, to ask God himself, just as we are speaking, just ask him to show you or reveal to you what that big thing beyond you that you do not know? And I said, he will come, he will tell you. Speak to him just as we are speaking together. And he said, okay, he will do that. So after a while, he left. And I prayed for him. Not with him yet, I prayed for him. And while when he was going, I said, I asked him to pray for me, and I'll be praying for him too. So he said, thank you, and left. And I shared this with my prayer group so we can pray for him. His name is David. So I'm asking the church that we pray for David, that God will reveal himself to him. And thank you for listening. And that's an assignment for us. Thank you.
Let's just have a word of prayer. Let's just pray for each of the four people that have shared their testimonies, and for the places that God's placed them, or the things that we've been asked to pray for. And then I'm just going to share a bit more. Lord God, I just thank you that you have sent us out into the world to be your witnesses. Sometimes, Jesus, it's a bit daunting. We worry we won't have the right words to say. We question your wisdom in using that way of sharing your love with the world. But we read it in your word and we know it's true. And so we're seeking, each of us, to be faithful to what you have asked us to do. And Lord, I thank you for the stories that we've heard today of really simple ways in which people are living their lives that are sharing their faith in you. Lord, I thank you for little angels. I thank you for the work that has been established there by this church many decades ago and the connections that we still have with them. And I thank you particularly, Lord, for Val and her work with them providing musical accompaniment. Lord, I thank you that they know that she's a church member. The staff know, and she's a really strong connection between us and them. And pray, Lord, that you would give her opportunities in that space to share more about her faith and her love for you and her motivation for serving for them. Lord, I thank you for David and his passion for football and for young people and the way in which you're using that in our town to put him in a place where he can have influence on the lives of young girls in this town and encourage them to pray and be someone in their lives who prays for them. Lord, I thank you for Colleen's business at the aerodrome and for the way in which she brings her faith into that place in her life. And Lord, that that place would reflect your kingdom values of welcome and inclusion in the way in which they serve their customers day by day. And Lord, I thank you too for Mary, a life lived loving you and sharing about your love, and a life now that is often just in her home, but that she hasn't stopped sharing with others that she loves you and that you love them. Lord, make we be more like Mary, have that courage to just take that next step of explaining and challenging those that we meet in our everyday lives. Thank you for her gentleness of spirit and her ability and courage to share your goodness. And Lord, we pray for David, the CCTV serviceman that came to her house. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would be stirring him to seek you. Because Lord, when we seek you, we find you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to say a couple of words linking what we've heard to the passage, unless there's anyone else that wants to share. This is your final moment. No? Okay. So just a few different things from the passage, if we could have the PowerPoint back up. As I said before, this is a passage where the disciples are sent out, and we're sent out too. They're told that they're going to be lambs amongst wolves. Sometimes we feel quite intimidated by this idea of being sent and scattered. And I love this phrase in this passage. I love Jesus' care for them in telling them that it's going to be quite difficult. So if you feel a bit intimidated, if you feel a bit like a lamb going out into a group of wolves, then that's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because it's not the right thing to do. It's because it's exactly how Jesus said it would be. There is an element of jeopardy about it. And if you feel that, that's okay. But in verse 4, he goes on to say that they shouldn't take anything for the journey. And that makes me feel like I'm kind of glad that I wasn't one of these 72 people. Because if someone had told me, we're going to send you out into something that's got quite a lot of jeopardy, but don't take anything, I think that that would make the situation worse. But actually, Jesus is telling them that because they are to rely totally upon God. And we are to rely totally upon God. If you think I could never do what Mary did, that's okay. She doesn't think she can do it either. But she has learned over her many years of loving Jesus that he is a God who always provides for her, provides her the words, provides her that gentle in to have a conversation. And so we can be sure that God gives us, when we ask for it, the provision we need for being scattered as well as being gathered. The rest of the passage is about the different responses that the disciples are going to get. Some people are interested in the gospel. They're to stay there. They're to eat with them. They're to say peace upon this house. Some people are hostile. And they're to just, or indifferent. And they're to just let that go. We'll find that. There'll be people that we come across that really haven't got the slightest interest in the fact that we're people of faith. That's okay. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to stir them and call them into faith. We've just got to be the witnesses. We've just got to be those that are faithfully living out in the world. And if we find people that really don't want to know anything about our faith, we're to stop pestering them. We're to just leave them be. We're not to stay and persist with those that are hostile. Verse 5, where Jesus talks about how to behave if someone is open to the gospel, is often talked about as identifying those people that we come into contact with who are people of peace. People who want you, are interested, maybe ask you questions about your faith. And these are the people that Jesus is encouraging his disciples, and I would encourage you to engage with. It's not our job to bring people to faith. That's what God does. It's our job to share faithfully, and particularly with people of peace. And this is a diagram that's been used by other churches. Started off in Sheffield, big church in Sheffield, using this with their evangelism training, outreach training for their church. And it's the bit in the middle is saying about how a person of peace is identified, and just reminding us of people of peace. And around the outside, there are all the different ways that we can be in our scattered lives, all the different ways in which the gospel is shared with people. And I find this a really, really encouraging diagram. Because if you think about the testimonies that I have shared with you, or that others have shared with you, all of them have this idea of preparation. No, not one single person prayed the prayer with that person and brought them to church and we're going to baptize them along with Valeria. That's not what's happening. That's okay. But they're all preparation things. They're all preparing the ground for people. All of the testimonies about being a presence in the world, not hiding our faith, not being secret, but just being a presence as someone of faith in the world. Some of the stories are about passing relationships. Mary's story, I mean, maybe David will come and service her CCTV next year, but maybe the company will send someone else. She might never see him ever again. It was a passing relationship. Colleen's customers, again, a passing relationship. Sometimes they're much more long-term relationships. Val's in a longer-term relationship with the staff at Little Angels. David's in a much more ongoing relationship with the girls and the parents involved with the under 12 Lionesses. Colleen's got some relationships in her workplace, you know, with colleagues and stuff that are more permanent. They've all got a different place in this work that we have to do. We'll talk about some of the others maybe at a different time.